Bonsoir United Kingdom, this is France calling, you are listening to Radio Radio Eurovision Special. Radio Radio Eurovision Special, c'est musique terrible.
This is your robot speaking. Press button now.
Yeah. Greetings, Euro Pop Pickers, and welcome along to Radio Radio, an occasional series of podcasts presented by me, Gareth Jones, coming to you directly from my cold, damp flat in Bristol in the UK. Now, if you've never heard one of these before, basically I make them once in a blue moon. The last one was back in December, which was my annual Christmas special. And here we are now in May 2015 with the follow-up for Eurovision. So it's basically taken me 5 months to make another podcast. So anytime you've ever been stood at a bus stop, waiting for a delayed bus, going, oh, when's it going to turn up? Is it going to be here soon? Oh, when's it coming? Well, think yourself lucky, because however long you've got to wait, I can assure you that your delayed bus will turn up far quicker than it takes me to make another podcast. However, I am trying to be a little bit more ambitious. It wouldn't be hard, would it? Last year, I made just 2 editions of Radio Radio. This year, I'm aiming for, well, hopefully at least 3. And I'm taking things a bit more seriously, so I've set up a Facebook page and a Twitter page. Oh yes, very modern. I don't really know what to do with them, but I've got them, and that's the main thing. So you can like us on facebook.com/radioradiopodcast. That's facebook.com/radioradiopodcast, and it's one of those like pages, so you can just like us. We're also on Twitter. I've set up a Twitter page, which is twitter.com/radioradiopod. Now, they wouldn't let me use the entire characters for Radio Radio Podcast, so I've had to stop at the word pod. So it's twitter.com/radioradiopod. And things are going really well for the Twitter page at the moment. I think I've got 1 follower, and that's my girlfriend. So things are going really well. So it's twitter.com/radioradiopod. So 2 Eurovision-related records to start off the show. And first up, following the great tradition of silly song titles such as Boom Bang A Bang and Diggy Loo Diggy Lay, we had Ding A Dong, covered for you there by Mr. Edwyn Collins. Edwyn, most famous, of course, for his 1995 top 5 hit, A Girl Like You, and the voice of post-punk band Orange Juice. But there he was covering the 1975 Eurovision winning song, Ding A Dong. Originally by a 6-piece band from the Netherlands called Teachin. Now, I looked up Teachin on Wikipedia because, well, you know, I've got time on my hands. And it turns out they had quite a lengthy career. According to Wikipedia, they had 18 singles and 5 albums. 18 singles and 5 albums. I'd only ever heard of Ding A Dong until now. In 1979, they released a single called The Robot. So, naturally, I had to check it out. And there it was. So we had Edwyn Collins covering Ding A Dong by Teachin, and then we had Teachin with one of their follow-up singles called The Robot from 1979. And the Edwyn Collins track, incidentally, was taken from a compilation album from 1998, put out by Eurotrash, the Channel 4 series with Antoine Ticon, a song for Eurotrash rather than a song for Europe. It featured contemporary artists of the time covering classic Eurovision songs. Various people on there, including Dubstar, do you remember them? Oh, Dubstar. Sanetian, who else have we got on here? Terry Hall, Skinhead O'Connor, Bananarama, Shane McGowan. 808 State, bizarrely, covering the Eurotrash theme, and Kaniki, and we'll be hearing the Kaniki song in a few moments' time. Eurotrash, do you remember that? I was just thinking about that, bringing back happy memories. Eurotrash featured various quirky stories from around Europe, and featured various random characters. There was Lolo, the porn star, with unfeasibly large breasts, and she eventually died. There was Pee Pee and Popo, the puppet giraffes, who pretty much did nothing. but they kept popping up on the show. They were the Romeo Cleaners, who were two men from Berlin who used to do cleaning in people's houses with no clothes on. And there were all sorts of bizarre little short films from around Europe on there. I remember there was a guy who was an artist, and he painted pictures using his own human feces. He would eat various different types of food, broccoli or chocolate or whatever it may be, to get different light and shade and different texture. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, all the pictures were still pretty much brown. There was a guy who went into a specialist brothel and dressed up as a baby. He had his nappy changed and then he was breastfed. And I think there was a couple who had some sort of weird sex act where they had a see-through glass coffee table, and the guy would poo on the coffee table and she would be underneath watching him poo. Oh, it doesn't bear thinking about. But, you know, they don't make television like that anymore, do they? Bring it back. I miss Eurotrash. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, it's Radio Radio. It's the Eurovision special. And what's coming up on the show, I hear you ask. Or in France, qu'est-ce que c'est? What is on the radio radio? Yeah, I really need to work on the French accent. Well, obviously, we've got lots of Eurovision songs, that goes without saying. But in terms of speech, well, I'll be chatting in a few moments to Paul Hansen, one of the volunteers of the Cube Cinema in Bristol, who's going to be running a Eurovision party night. So he'll be telling us all about that. Also, the main chunk of the show is Roy Delaney. Now, Roy is something of a Eurovision expert. He goes there every year, he writes about it, he knows various facts and figures, he's met lots of the performers, and he's got various stories to tell and various anecdotes. So we'll be trawling through the history of Eurovision and digging out a few forgotten classic songs, some of the lesser known, some of the more obscure artists, sharing them with you and giving some stories about the background behind them. So that's all coming up on this Eurovision edition of Radio Radio. Meantime, back to the music, and I'm going to take you back now to Eurovision 1974. We're in Brighton. The UK representative that year is Olivia Newton-John, singing Long Live Love. And the pre-voting interval entertainment was, would you believe, the Wombles. How bizarre. Anyway, none of us could have predicted back in 1974 that four fresh-faced Swedes would suddenly become international megastars. But they were. Yes, ABBA. Now, I'm not actually going to be playing you ABBA, because that's too obvious and you've heard them a million times. But what I am going to do is play you six snippets of cover versions of Waterloo. These are six what I consider to be fairly interesting interpretations of Waterloo. And we begin with a metal version. Let's rock! We'll be right back.
Waterloo, I was defeated, you won the war. Waterloo, promise to love you forevermore. Say, Waterloo, couldn't escape if I wanted to. Waterloo, no, my fate is to be with you. Oh, Waterloo, finally facing my Waterloo.
Well, there we go. Six cover versions for you there of Waterloo, beginning and ending with Swedish artists. First up, we had a Swedish heavy metal band called the Black Ingvars. I may have pronounced that wrong. Ingvars. The Black Ingvars. And the Black Ingvars have covered many songs in a heavy metal style. Amongst their repertoire, they've also done The Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera, Living La Vida Loca, Mambo No. 5, and Britney's Baby One More Time. They're all on Spotify, so if you want to check out the Black Ingvars, you can hear lots of hilarious heavy metal cover versions of classic pop songs. Next up, we had the talented pianist Mr. Bobby Crush, who I suppose he could be considered kind of UK's answer to Liberace. And although he's never taken part in Eurovision, he did win the Opportunity Knox contest back in 1972. Next up, we had St. Winifred School Choir. Now, St. Winifred School Choir, of course, most famously known for their number one Christmas hit from 1980, There's No One Quite Like Grandma. And one of the members of St. Winifred School Choir is the actress Sally Lindsay. So there we go. A useless but mildly fascinating fact. That was followed by Klaus Wunderlich, a Hammond organ player from Germany. Now, Klaus Wunderlich, he might sound like an end-of-the-pier entertainer or someone down in your local church hall, but he's actually sold a staggering 20 million records. Incredible. Next up were a German country band called Texas Lightning, and Texas Lightning have covered lots of songs in a country style. They've done Like a Virgin, they've done Depeche Mode's Enjoy the Silence, they've done Kiss by Prince, and Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side, all in a kind of groovy, swinging country style. And they actually took part, Texas Lightning took part in Eurovision in 2006, so they've actually taken part in the contest themselves. And rounding up the Waterloo cover versions was a swing version by Swedish singer Andreas Johnson. Now, there's a name you might remember, Andreas Johnson. Where have you heard that name before? Very familiar name, isn't it? Well, let me remind you. Do you remember this?
To the rhythm I'll go as groom with grace.
Yes, Andreas Glorious Johnson, a bona fide one-hit wonder. His only hit in this country, which reached number 4 in the year 2000. But he's still going. I thought he disappeared off the face of the earth. But Andreas Johnson is still going. These days, more likely to be releasing swing albums than soft pop rock albums. Now, coming up next on Radio Radio, I'll be in conversation with Paul Hansen. Paul is a volunteer from the Cube Cinema in Bristol. Now, how will you be enjoying Eurovision? Chances are you'll be sat at home watching it on the telly. But if you live in Bristol, then this year you don't have to, because the Cube Cinema are going to be showing it on the big screen. Plus, in addition to that, there'll be cocktails, fun and games, fancy dress, you name it. So I'll be chatting to Paul in the offices of the Cube Cinema, where he'll tell us all about it. That's coming up in a moment, but first, more music, and from the Eurotrash album I was telling you about, this is Kinnicky, Sunderland's finest Kinnicky, featuring Lauren Laverne, of course. This is them covering the 1976 Eurovision classic by Brotherhood of Man, and I'll actually be talking about Kinnicky very briefly with Roy Delaney in a few moments. Anyway, that's still to come. This is Brotherhood of Man's classic, covered by Kinnicky. This is Save All Your Kisses for Me. Mwah!
Though it hurts to go away, it's impossible to stay. But there's one more thing I'll say before I go.
love you, you know. I'll be thinking of you in most everything I do. Now the time is moving on and I really should be gone, but you keep me hanging on for one more smile.
Paul Hanson, a volunteer at the Cube in Bristol. Actually, I've never known anyone else called Hanson other than the boy band from the 90s of Bop fame. You're not a distant relative, right?
Sadly, no. No, I tried that, but they don't want to know.
That's a shame. And for the lucky few, people may have got tickets to actually go to the event in Vienna. This means nothing to me. Obviously, the vast majority of us will be sat at home, stocking up on alcohol and various smelly cheeses. One or two may be lucky to convince the local pub to show it on a big screen. I mean, it's very rare. Most landlords are happy to show football, but get them to show Eurovision. It's not really happening. So what are you doing at the Cube in Bristol for Eurovision?
Well, we're going to be doing a live screening with games, sing-along, going to have Eurovision karaoke. I will then be playing solely Eurovision until the early hours of the morning. We're going to attempt to make it as silly as possible. I think you can't take yourself too seriously if you're throwing a Eurovision party.
And with all good Eurovision parties is a fancy dress theme. Now, you've stated very clearly on the website, no national stereotypes.
Yeah.
Because every time I've gone to a Eurovision party, you know, there's someone with a beret and a string of onions and garlic bread. And
yeah, yeah. Well, we're organising it with a nice Irish friend and a Swede. And I think the last thing they want is a load of sort of terrible mime costumes walking in the door. I think we're aiming for more glitz and glamour, dresses, flags, song lyrics, a bit more abstract.
And there are prizes. Now, I'm guessing you're giving away some bottles of Bucks Fizz. Or are you still making your mind up about what prizes to get?
We are still making our mind up, yeah. There will be Bucks Fizz, and there'll probably be spot prizes, and then hopefully one for the best dressed.
Now, also, it lists on the Cube website what you're doing for this Eurovision night. Special effects.
Yeah,
now,
we're definitely having special effects.
Now, what does that involve?
Well, I can't say all of them, because some of them need to be a surprise, but there'll be a hell of a lot of glitter cannons. Sadly, can't do pyros, but there will be lots and lots of glitter, probably a balloon drop, and then we'll see what else we can come up with.
And the most interesting items I've seen listed is Eurovision cocktails and a Eurovision sandwich competition. Now, talk us through that.
So we've got some people from restaurants in Bristol, and they're going to be running a Eurovision sandwich contest. So each of them gets assigned a country, and they're going to make a sandwich inspired by that nation. And then people will be able to buy those on the night for snacks, keep them going, and then vote in which country's sandwich they think is the best.
It's going to be tastier than some of the songs.
Well, I should hope so. It could be tastier than all the outfits.
And the cocktails?
We're going to be making our own schnapps, which my friend Lena is going to let me do her secret recipe. And then we're going to come up with a nice punch. We're not sure what we're going to do yet, but it'll be fruity.
So you'll be showing it on the big screen?
Yep.
In the cinema, in the Cube?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I guess people can sort of interact in the bar. There'll be games?
Yeah, we're going to be playing cliche bingo on the night. So everyone loves the Eurovision drinking game, but there's no way we would want 100 people all attempting it at once. So we're going to sort of split it out into bingo cards. When you see your cliche on your card, mark it down. First one to a full house is going to win another fabulous prize.
What are the top cliches?
Definitely key changes, pyros, use of props, and singing in any other language that's not their own. Those are my favourites.
And I'm guessing you're kind of a lifelong Eurovision fan yourself.
I've probably got into it over the last 10 years a lot. I watched it a little bit when I was a kid, but it was really sort of a formative experience of hanging out with just two of my mates. Didn't know it was on, really kind of turned it on, got hooked, and we've had a Eurovision party, the three of us, every year since then. Accidentally sneaking it into other people's barbecues when they're not expecting it.
Well, this year's Eurovision party is going to be at the Cube, so not going to your house this time.
No. My house isn't big enough to hold the amount of people I want to have a party with. So, 100 of my favourite people, I hope, will be there.
And it's £6 on the door?
It's £5 on the door, and it will be kicking off at 7:30.
Well, Paul, I wish you the best of luck. I'm hoping to get down myself.
I'd like to see you there.
I'd like you to now pick a Eurovision song of your choice, if that's not putting you on the spot.
No. Hard Rock Hallelujah by Lordi.
Very fine choice.
Yeah, it's my favourite. I listen to it probably more than twice a week when I get out of bed. It's great.
Well, good luck with it, Paul.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Lordy, lordy, lordy. That's Finnish heavy metal band Lordi, who won the Eurovision back in 2006 with Hard Rock Hallelujah, as chosen by Paul Hansen from the Cube Cinema. And if you fancy joining the party, then get yourself down to the Cube on Saturday 23rd of May. For more details, visit cubecinema.com. OK, it's Radio Radio Eurovision special, and more chat in a moment, well, for the rest of the programme, really, with Roy Delaney. Now, Roy is something of a Eurovision expert. He's attended the ceremony itself for many years. He doesn't just watch it on the telly. And he's built up friendships with various performers and has lots of stories to tell. So we're going to look back over some Eurovision entries of years gone by and have a few little stories and anecdotes. But first, I thought, you know, Roy, he's a bit of an expert on Eurovision. Some would say you could even call him Mr. Eurovision. So here's a little song by Mr. Neil Innes of obviously the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, the Ruttles. He was also the man who wrote and sang the theme tune of 80s cartoon series The Raggy Dolls, of which I'm sure is his proudest moment. So this is Neil Innes with Mr. Eurovision.
Hey, Mr. Eurovision Song Contest man, would you like to hear my song? Bing, bang, bong. Inky, pinky, parlez-vous. Wunderbar, ooh la la, olé. Song contest man, would you like to hear my song? Bing, bang, bong. Inky, pinky, parlez-vous. Wunderbar, ooh la la, olé.
Well, I'm joined by Roy Delaney, Eurovision expert. Would that be a fair assumption?
Sort of an expert. Aficionado is probably a more polite version.
And before we discuss Eurovision, our paths crossed many years ago. I've had you, I realised I had you as a Facebook friend since 2009.
Blimey, has it been going that long?
But I don't remember when I last actually saw you eye to eye. But I can remember three incidents. One was at the Bristol venue, The Fleece.
Oh, yeah.
We both saw the band Kinnicky. I was writing a fanzine at the time, and you must have been working on a student newspaper.
I was, UWE's Westworld.
And I think they separated all the band members because there were lots of people lined up to do an interview. I had Marie. I didn't have her, but...
Well, you know, she was a nice girl.
I had the presence of Marie, and you had Lauren, as it were.
I did.
And I believe she gave a flash of her knickers to you.
She did. We were talking about Valentine's Day presents. And I asked her what she got. She thought, always like underwear, I get. I think it was when she was going out with Taylor Parks, ex of ex-NME journo. I said, do you trust him to get anything decent? And she said, no, he got me these really nice pink ones. And then just kind of like pulled them up and showed me some of her pink smarty pants. And I've been dying out on that story for years now.
And earlier on in the podcast, I played Kinnicky's version of the 1976 winning Eurovision song Save All Your Kisses From Me by Brotherhood of Man, which is the year I was born, so it's quite significant.
I'll make a man feel old, why not?
I won't ask what year you were born then.
No, 1964.
Yeah. We were on a local TV quiz called Back to Base, which was on HTV.
That's right.
And I can't remember how far you got through. We were on like the semi-final and the final. I was on basically on four times.
Yeah, you knocked me out in the semi-final. Well, your team, not just, but it was you. You were the king of that team.
I don't suppose anybody listening to this recalls the programme. I don't think anybody watched it. And I was working in retail at the time. And someone came up to me and recognised me and said, oh, you were on telly last night. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And it turns out that they were just friends of one of the other teams. I don't think anybody watched it. It was kind of an after-pub show, but nobody watched it after the pub. They just went to bed, probably.
Wasn't it on Thursday night about 11 o'clock or something like that on ATV, where no one watches? I've done a number of quiz shows in my life, and you do get people coming up to you and stopping you in the street. But for that one, no one, ever.
No.
Not once.
No.
Even people on it can't remember they were on it.
And the prize, so I was on it four times, won the final.
Yeah, rub it in that you beat me. Yeah,
sorry. But the prize is the kind of prize that if it was a national show, you would have won as a runner-up prize. And we were on four times in order to win a Ghetto Blaster and some Virgin Music Encyclopedia, which were probably given to them for free from the company.
Yeah, I got some lesser music encyclopedias. I think I got the Almanac of Rock and one of Beat Music. And a very nice little statuette of a man in his pants. I think you probably got as well.
Captain Pop, I think.
That was it. That was the
man. Little statue. And then the other time our paths crossed was at the Reading Festival. I can't remember what year, but I do remember this. You may remember this. I don't know. There's the Melody Maker, RIP.
Oh, yes.
Melody Maker karaoke tent.
Which I used to help run.
Ah, that would be why then.
Yeah, and there's a karaoke and signing tent, and we used to run that, and we used to do darts events as well. So as soon as all the signings finished, we had a variety of pop bands through there. As soon as the signings finished, we had karaoke. There's always lots of mad French women trying to do Prodigy songs. And did you do one? I can't remember.
Yeah, so I did the Space and Keris Matthews Ballad of Tom Jones.
That's right.
And I did both parts.
Which is coming back to me now in a terrifying way.
And usually I've got a terrible memory, and yet I remember that vividly.
Now I'll never forget that. That memory has just come straight back into my head.
So those are the times where our paths have crossed.
I mean, we've crossed paths many other times at various indie pop gigs down the side of Louisiana here and there, and given each other a nod. So it's, you know, this isn't like a great homecoming, and the joy of the internet and social media networking.
So anyway, we move on to Eurovision. That's what you're here for.
Yep.
And by trade, you are a journalist. Freelance. So
yes, I'll write anything about punk rock, music, fridges. Right now, I'm writing the obituaries for the Musicians Union magazine. I do all sorts, me.
I used to know the guy who wrote for the music section for the Bristol Post, and he had to bump up his wages by doing restaurant reviews. You know,
that's kind of what we do, really. It's have typewriter, will write any old nonsense for money.
So as a writer, you obviously write about all manner of things, Eurovision being one of them. How did this come about?
Well, it's become sort of a little niche of mine. I've always been a Eurovision fan since I was a kid. My first memory of Eurovision is watching it. Obviously, I'd watched them before, but watching Dana win in 1970 with all kinds of everything. And to the kind of 5.5-year-old pup I was, she seemed quite a big grown-up sophisticate, or quite a thing for her at the time. Little though I know, she'd turn into a proper horrible right-wing president of Ireland. Yeah, it's probably not a good thing to say about Dan. Yeah, and so ever since then, it was the kind of thing you watch. My dad was a semi-professional snooker player, so he was always out at the weekends. And I'd watch showbiz telly with my parents, and they were quite a bit older than a lot of my friends' parents, so they kind of grew up with variety. So I got really deeply steeped, before I got into rock and roll and punk rock and everything, I was deeply steeped in variety music and all the singers and songwriters on Saturday or Sunday night at the London Palladium and all the great variety
Summertime
shows.
Special.
Yeah, and even earlier than that, really. All the guests on Walkman & Wise and everything was in black and white back then. We only had three channels, so variety was all you could watch. So yeah, I always kind of, it was a special thing you did. It was something you could get involved with your mum and following your favourite songs and all that. And as I kind of grew up and got older, I got into punk rock and I got into being in noisy bands. You kind of got a bit too cool for it. But then probably about 1991, I was in Sweden visiting some friends. It was the night of Eurovision, the night they won with Carola. And I just saw how the whole country went mental. The place went berserk. It was if England won the World Cup, but it was Sweden winning Eurovision. And I just thought, I like a bit of this. This is quite good again. I'm not too cool for this anymore. And I was an avid fan ever since. And then in 1997, Katrina and the Waves won for the UK. And that meant it was going to be in Britain the next year. And for some reason, it was in Birmingham. I think they'd had a rental on the NIA or something. And I thought, I'm going to go to that. I'm going to blag my way into that. I was a student journalist at the time. And I thought, I'll try and see if I can get a press blag on that. And I did. And then Israel won Diamond International that year. I thought, I'll never do it. I'll see if I can blag that one. I never blagged Jerusalem. And I did. And I've been doing it every year since. I've been every year since 98. Been to some unbelievable places. And every year I manage to sell a story to someone, or I manage to brag a press pass off someone interesting. And that's the 18th coming up this year.
Bound to get sneezes or nasty diseases. Take good care when I'm not there. I'm still in love with you.
While I'm on vacation, you'll be a good patient. Take your medication. I worry so each time I go. Try to keep warm, dear, in case there's a storm, dear. Take good care while I'm not there. I'm still in love with you.
Some younger guys with roving eyes may tantalize you with their lies. You must be wise and realize, leave well alone till you get home, dear.
Warm silver fellas, don't wanna make you jealous. No need to fear when you're not here. I'm still in love with you.
Don't walk on the red lights. Don't stay out at midnight. Don't get in a fist fight. That pretty face can't be replaced.
Well, that's this year's UK entry, Electro Velvet. Roy, I believe that one of the songwriters involved in this actually was responsible for the Jim Will Fix It theme.
Yep, the Jim Will Fix It theme, the theme from Challenge Annika. All sorts of adverts you'd remember, quite a lot of things. But weirdly, I got sent a demo of that song in November of last year. I heard it once, and it had the singer of Freak Power singing on it. I heard it once and thought, well, that doesn't even stand a remote chance. The BBC aren't even going to listen to that. And then got involved in all sorts of rumour mills about Alexandra Burke and Jane McDonald and all sorts of people. Didn't even give that song another mind. And then on the red button that night, they said, and here's our UK song, Electro Velvet, with Still In Love With You. And I went, that's it. That's that thing I had a demo of all those months ago. I've been speculating for so long, and yet I had it all along. How do you think it's going to do?
I actually, see, I know we've, obviously, in recent years, not done so well. I actually think, having heard clips of all the songs this year, if you get away from the whole political voting situation, as it stands, I actually think it's possibly the best.
Well, the thing is, it's a very ballad-heavy year this year. There's a lot of ballad and a lot of mid-tempo sludge.
They're very middle of the road this year.
Yeah, I think they're all being a bit safe for the juries. But it's one of the few up-tempo songs. There's probably that, Israel, that are remotely up-tempo. So, you know, we could get onto the left-hand side of the scoreboard this time anyway. But you mentioned political voting. I'm no believer of that. I had a look at the figures the other day, and everyone says, no one votes for us, it's all political. So I looked at the last 6 years' figures. And over those years, 42 countries have given us points. 25 of them have given us points twice. Of the countries voting this year, only four countries that haven't given us points in the last 6 years. One of them's Australia. we've never been in it before, and they'll never be in it again.
Yeah, how did that come about? Can you explain that?
Oh, I can. It's a vanity project by a fella called Jon Ole Sand, who's the Norwegian head of Eurovision. And he's been angling for it for a few years to have some kind of little legacy thing for his reign as Eurovision boss. And the Australian channel SBS, or like a minor kind of public broadcasting channel that show Eurovision, they've been chucking money at it and trying to convince him to have them in. And it's going to be very interesting if they win, and they do stand a decent outside chance. Let's just hope we get votes off them. The only other countries that haven't voted for us in the last 6 years have been Finland, Austria, and Montenegro. So that's only four countries that haven't given us votes.
Well, I don't think it's a question that nobody votes for us, but we come so low down in the running order now. I have to check my notes. You'd know this immediately. But yeah, the last time we won, it was 1997. Yeah, you'd know that straight away.
We come second in 1998, and we've had a couple of fourth and fifths along the way since. When we send decent songs, we get decent points. That's pretty much the yardstick.
Is it all about the song? I mean, if you've got a big figure like Engelbert Humperdinck or Bonnie Tyler, I would have thought their fan base, you know, worldwide, would be strong enough even if the song was a bit weak.
Well, it's kind of proved that that's not the case. I thought the Engelbert attempt was a good experiment. I thought they were going to try and do a Tom Jones-style reboot on him, but it just didn't quite work. He was on first. He looked a bit sweaty and out of sorts, but Bonnie Tyler was just a mid-tempo plodder. Mid-tempo plodders never do anything ever in the contest, which is why we might have a bit of hope this year.
Mm. And it was 1997, Katrina and the Waves, Love Time Light. Yeah. Was the person behind picking them was Jonathan King.
He was, yes.
So this year's entry, written by a guy who wrote the Jim Will Fix It theme. The last time the UK won, the man behind it was Jonathan King.
I think that's quite an extrapolation there.
Now, the only other, I've heard clips of all the entries this year, the only other interesting one to me, and you said that they've never given us any points.
Only in the last 6 years.
Is Finland.
Yes.
Now, Finland this year, now I don't think I'm going to be able to pronounce this. Pertti Kurikan-Nimip, you say it.
It's Pertti Kurikan-Nimipervit, which means Pertti Kurikan's name day, which is the lead guitarist's name, Pertti Kurikan.
And the name of their song is
Enemin Pitää.
Well, I'm glad you did it, because I couldn't say it.
I've been rehearsing this for about 4 months now.
So, the UK entry and them, they're the only interesting entries this year. Mm. So tell us a little bit about them.
Well, Pertti Kurikan-Nimipervit, or PKN as we'll call them from here on in, are a Finnish punk rock band. This is the shortest song in Eurovision history, beating our very first entry, Patricia Bredin's All, from 1957. About 90 seconds long. And it's four middle-aged punk rockers from a small town just outside of Helsinki, all happen to be learning disabilities. The drummer has Down syndrome, the bass player has a variety of Down syndrome, the singer, I believe, is aspergic, and the guitarist has cystic fibrosis. But that's irrelevant. They're just four old punks who like making a racket. They play around the world. They've played the pub down the end of my road just before Christmas, and I didn't know they were on and missed them.
You could have supported them.
Well, I could have done. They were supporting a
Roy's in a, you're in a punk duo or a band? Is
it? Two-piece.
Two-piece. Punk two-piece called Hacksaw.
Yeah, we're terrible. So. But it's the kind of band we would have supported, and it's just completely un-Eurovision punk rock racket. And it's beautiful. It is them being on. They've been only in the semi-finals. We got on the Tuesday nights. We got to hope they make the Eurovision final, because it will be the most punk rock thing that ever happened. These four old grumbly blokes playing a noisy boom-chip punk rock song in the middle of all that glamour will be priceless and gorgeous.
Don't
short and sweet punk rock. That was brilliant. Now, it's the 60th anniversary of Eurovision.
Yeah, the 60th running, yeah.
And there's something I've always wondered. Obviously, it's got a reputation as being cheesy and naff. Mm. Has that always been the case? Did it actually begin as a relatively credible contest?
Well, it began as a Saturday Night Light entertainment show. The whole reason it began was a fellow called Marcel Bensasson, I've probably pronounced his name wrong, decided that he looked at the Italian show San Remo, which was like a massive music contest, and he thought that was a way of bringing together the countries of Europe in the still post-war kind of malaise in the mid-50s. It was still hanging on. So 1956, he gathered together seven countries, and they all did two songs, and never thought it'd last more than one show. And then the next year, it built up to, I think, 14 songs, and it just got bigger and bigger, or 10 songs, I think, that year. But it got bigger and bigger every year. And early on, it was people who were like big variety stars, people off the telly more than sort of like music people. It was a light entertainment show, and you could only be a solo singer or a duet, and so there was no real credibility to it, but it was people who were all big names in their home countries. It was only kind of like when the 70s turned and towards the end of the 60s we were getting people like France Gall, who did the amazing Poupée de Cire, Poupée de Son, who I can never pronounce that either. I hope we'll play it in a minute after I've said
absolutely.
This which one of the greatest beat songs in European history, let alone a Eurovision winner. And it started getting a bit cool around then. Yeah, we had a Sandy Shaw, had Puppet on a String, which was slightly less cool, but it had a good little weird bump about it. But then...
She hates the song, though.
Well, she does, but it's kind of...
She had a best of a couple of years ago, and she totally re-recorded it.
Oh, yeah, well, you would, really. It's of its time. A lot of Eurovision songs are of their time, or kind of rather of 10 years before the time they're performed. But then when it got to the 70s, when colour came in, it started getting a bit cheesier. Everyone was wearing big kind of like flares and sort of tab collar shirts, a bit over colourful. Then people realised that they were struggling winning, singing in their own language. So that's when all your boom banger bangs and your tippy tees and your onomatopoeic songs came in. And that's when the kind of the cheese really began. And that's kind of stuck in our memory. Most of the people growing up talking about Eurovision, who are running the media now, all remember that. That's the stuff they grew up with, that in the 80s. And so that's what's kind of stuck in our head, really, the colourful stuff. And the last 10 years have proved it's not really about that anymore. Since Eastern Europe have got involved, we're sending what we think Eurovision songs are in the West, and they're sending their biggest pop stars. And so to them, it's nothing cheesy about it at all. They're building their national identities in Europe through their greatest pop stars in the contest.
Mon cœur est gravé dans mes chansons, poupée de cire, poupée de son. Suis-je meilleur, suis-je pire qu'une poupée de salon? Je vois la vie en rose bonbon, poupée de cire, poupée de son. Mes disques sont un miroir dans lequel chacun peut me voir. En mille éclats de voix. Autour de moi, j'entends rire les poupées de chiffon. Celles qui dansent sur mes chansons, poupées de cire, poupées de son. Elles se laissent séduire pour un oui, pour un non. L'amour n'est pas que dans les chansons, poupées de cire. Chacun peut me voir. Je suis partout à la fois, brisée en mille éclats de voix. Sale parfois, je soupire, je me dis à quoi bon chanter ainsi l'amour sans raison, sans rien connaître des garçons. Je suis qu'une poupée de cire, qu'une poupée de son. Soleil de mes cheveux blancs, poupée de cire, poupée de son. Mais un jour je vivrai mes chansons, poupée de cire, poupée de son. Sans craindre la chaleur des garçons, poupée de cire.
Francois with Poppy to see, Poppy to son, c'est bon.
I think it's for Luxembourg, though. even though it was very French, you got Sir Gainsborough to write it as well. Is it for Luxembourg? I can't remember now. Quick, look at Wikipedia, listener, and that'll tell you he's your friend.
But that's actually, it is a classic record. It gets played in clubs that play, you know, soul and Motown, and it's actually, I would say that is a credible classic record.
Yeah. It's a great beat song of the 60s. It's pure French pop.
So I wanted to sort of look back on a few perhaps forgotten classics.
They're my favourite kind of classics.
If I start by 1998. Mm. Now, the thing, Eurovision. Mm. It's a very visual thing. I think if you actually listen to Ken Bruce on Radio 2 doing it, you're going to lose a lot of the magic.
Yeah. I never have. I really ought to. I watch the replays with his commentary just to see what it's like.
Because, yeah, I mean, it is obviously a song contest, but in many cases, I don't remember the songs, but I remember the outfits, the dance routines, the strange gestures.
It's all part of it, I think.
1998 is a particular point in case, because I don't really rate the song at all. It does nothing at all. But Germany, Gildo Horn, if I've pronounced that right, Gildo Hat Ich liebt.
Gildo Hat Ich liebt.
I failed French and I didn't study any other languages. So, I don't remember anything about the song. I looked it up on YouTube and we'll play a little clip of it. But it's not particularly a great song. But I do remember the guy vividly, and he to me looked like a cross between kind of Michael Bolton and the great late Terry Nutkins.
He did have the hair of Nutkins, yeah.
And he played a table of cowbells, and then he climbed up onto the scaffolding of the venue.
And then he jumped off and kissed Katie Boyle, who was sitting in the front row of the crowd. he was just a marvellous man. He was some kind of strange pop savant that a well-known TV producer in Germany found and discovered, and decided he was going to be the Eurovision winner that year. And so just promoted him ahead of all other. This fella called Stefan Raab, who later on entered Eurovision himself. He had this late night TV show. He was kind of their version of Chris Evans. And he promoted him to the hilt, and so made him such a big star in Germany, he won their national final by a mile. And then came to getting him to Eurovision in his sort of crushed velvet blue suit, strange gangly ways. He was a lovely, gentle fella. But like you say, you remember him more than you ever remember the actual song.
Absolutely. Although having said that, it came seventh place.
Yeah, so. It's just because it was back in the day when it was just all televoting. And if there was a song you loved, you voted for it. And none of this nonsense of juries voting for things they think people ought to like. It was just people purely enjoying a song for its own sake. And that was just fun.
So we'll hear a little blast now of Gildo Horn.
Down there is a girl, bandage down and make me allzu fan. Und von dort schick ich euch meinen Liebesbeweis. Nussecken und Himbeereis. Gildo hat euch lieb. Und wenn's auch mal Tränen gibt, kommt er rüber und singt für euch Lieder. Gildo hat euch lieb.
Immer wieder.
It's Radio Radio, the imaginally entitled podcast, with me, Gareth Jones, and Roy Delaney, so-say Eurovision expert.
Aficionado.
And you've written for, you write for various...
I usually do the previews for Heat. I've done bits and bobs for the BBC here and there. I do. I'm the secret reporter for Pop Bitch, but don't tell anybody I've told you that. And a number of people. I've got my own blog called Eurovision Apocalypse, and I do things for a number of people over the year.
So I'm looking back through Eurovision of years gone by for some of the lesser known, less memorable, but you remember them.
They're the ones that are my faves generally.
And we now move to 2000, the millennium, and Israel, and a band called Ping Pong. Now, I'm not sure if they were named after the table sport or the Stereolab song, but Ping Pong called... Sameach,
which is kind of like it's a Hebrew kind of exaltation, a bit like L'chaim. It's just like a way kind of thing. It's what they say when they're happy.
Well, the chorus of the song was "Oh, be happy."
Yeah, I have a confession to make. I actually wrote that for them I was talking to them beforehand, I was interviewing them, and I was the only person that wanted to speak to them because no one thought they were cool. And we got on famously. I'm still good mates with Chicky, the singer, to this day. He's a lovely fella. And he says, Roy, we have three versions of the song. We don't quite understand what Samaic should be. It's kind of like All Happy or Much Happiness. I says, well, how about Be Happy? They went, that's the one we're going to do. Said, no, don't take it on my... No, we're going to do Be Happy. I went into the first rehearsal they had. They got on stage. This is the big Eurovision stage in Stockholm. Chicky got up there. They started the music and said, hey, Roy, this is your version, and sang it. And I nearly fainted. And then they did it on the big night as well. I nearly cried.
It was fairly off key.
Yeah, that was part of his
joy. Not in a Gemini way. It wasn't...
Gemini were hard done by. Everybody was off key in 2003. But, you know, they were four club kids. You know, Chicky's a poet. Two of them were in punk rock bands. The other one's like a DJ, a trance DJ. And they just did it for a laugh because their mate booked them to do it. And somehow they got chosen. Their album's great. If you ever track down their album, it's some...
There's a ping pong album?
There's a ping pong album, and it's great. I'll have to lend it. We'll email you the songs. There's some cracking songs on there. Fortunately, they're recorded and not live. But And then they caused the whole hoo-ha because the song's all about a Israeli girl meeting up secretly with a Syrian border guard on the border and having an illicit liaison. There's lyrics in the song allude to her missing him and becoming friends with a cucumber. And lots of strange things like that in the song. And it's actually quite a dark song. And they were waving Israeli and Syrian flags at the time. The Mossad got wind of this and tried to forbid them from waving the Syrian flag. So I actually had to hide the Syrian flags the rest of that week in my rucksack so they could whiff them out on the night and wave them, which they did. Because they were expecting to be disqualified or killed by Mossad. But we just about got away with it.
Well, it's only fair we hear a blast. They came in at position 22.
22. I think they got about 7 or 8 points, bless them.
I've written it down here. Yeah. 7 points. 7 points.
They said to me, do you think we can win? And I went, I think it'll be tricky for you. We may give you some points. I think we gave them one.
Ping pong. Brilliant. We move on to 2003 now, and an Austrian entry came in sixth, which I find absolutely staggering. Sixth place for this.
It was favourite to come last in the betting. It was plum favourite to be bottom of the pile, and he just kept getting points off everyone.
Now, again, I'm terrible at pronouncing. The first bit I'm okay with, Alf, but the second name...
Poyet.
Okay. Alf Poyet. Well, you can read the title.
It's a Wilde Mensch Zahit. Part of the joy of being a Eurovision fan is that you know a small amount of lots of languages. Roughly, it means man is the measure of all things. It was a strange kind of 50% umpah song, sort of lullaby, and 50% deep metal. And it confused fandom like crazy. No one knew what to make of it. Everyone instantly hated it because it was a bit strange.
I loved it.
Well, the thing is, he's a Dadaist stand-up comedian. All his press conferences, because I tend to go out for the full, it's 2 weeks now, but there's press conferences and rehearsals and parties and stuff. And every one of his press conferences turned into a bizarre kind of Dadaist stand-up knockabout show where he'd wear like a hat of 15 hats and run across eggs and things like that, where everyone else is used to saying, oh, my favourite singers are Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. So obviously not in that accent. I mean, some kind of Slovenian accent. But, so he just bewildered everybody. But somehow, another case on the night, a bit like Gildo Horn, people just got him. The people at home got him, realised what he was doing, and loved him. He was a smashing geezer. He was just... We were in Latvia that year, and he's a total fish out of water. Him and his manager were completely confused by the whole thing, but we just ended up going down the pub and having a laugh. Which is one of the joys of blagging Eurovision. You get to go down the pub with some of Europe's biggest pop stars, which gets very weird sometimes.
Die Tiere dieser Erde, die mag ich ziemlich gern. Doch am allerliebsten mag ich die Hasel und die Bären. die Bären. Es sterben bald alle Vögel, es sterben bald alle Käfer. Nur im Bett da liegt der Adam und vermehrt sie mit der Eva. Die Hosen leben im Wald, die Katzen in der Wiesen und die Kakerlaken, die leben hinter die Fliesen. Kleine Hasen haben kurze Nasen und kleine Katzen haben weiche Bratzen und die Frau Holle hat gern die Wolle. Der Unterschied zwischen Menschen, zwischen Affen und Primaten, der ist nicht viel größer wie bei Nudeln und Frittaten. Frittaten. Doch wer mehr über Tiere wissen will, muss Biologie studieren oder sich im Anschluss auf meiner Homepage informieren. Manche Tiere, die haben Flügel und andere haben Flossen. Manche liegen im Freien und die anderen in der Dosen. Kleine Hasen haben kurze Nasen und kleine Katzen haben weiche Bratzen. Und die Frau Holle hat gern die Wolle.
We're going through some of the classics and less classics of Eurovision. I'm going to pick one that everybody knows, but I still think it's a bit of a cracker, from 2006. UK rapper Mr. Daz Sampson. Now, I don't know where you stand on this one.
I love Daz. Daz is a smashing bloke. I went to the Song for Europe competition that year, and he was up against, I think he was up against Michelle Marsh and Anthony Costa from Blue and a load of pop stars. But there was something about this song that just bit through, and just everyone got behind it in Song for Europe. When we got to Athens, where it was that year, he went, "Oh, you were the bloke in the front row at Song for Europe, weren't you?" He remembered me for some reason, and we got on famously. I'm sounding a bit like Christopher Biggins going about all my Eurovision mates. We've picked about the few people I actually do know. And then when it actually got onto the big stage, and there was this bloke in sportswear dancing around with loads of girls in school uniforms, we all suddenly went, "Hang on, this ain't right." This seemed like a really good idea at the time, but there's something a bit dubious about this. And he kind of twigged it as well.
Was Jonathan King still involved?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at that point. He'd gone. Oh, part of the promotion was to get everyone. There was a big promotional event and got everyone dressed up in school ties and school uniforms around the back to take a photograph with Daz and the girls. And that looked terrible. These middle-aged men, balding men in school uniforms. It looked like a kind of Terry Scott convention. It was terrible. But I'd still stand by the song. It's a cracking song. I mean, Daz had wanted to do Eurovision for a few years. I don't know if you remember, he did a version of Rhinestone Cowboy.
I've never heard anything else by him.
He was done a thing called Rhinestone Cowboy under the name of Ricky and Daz, and actually got Glenn Campbell in to sing some lines on it. And he'd had a few minor hits. You know those kind of things where they speed up an old classic and used to put a rave beat underneath it. He was behind half of them. He just always wanted to do Eurovision. He still wants to do it to this day.
What's he doing now?
I think he's just been a club DJ up north and producing. Right. I've not spoken to him for a while. I kept in touch with him for a while. He wanted to send a song in with Carol Decker of To Pow. He tried to enter that 2 or 3 years. It never really came off, bless him.
Well, from 2006, Daz Sampson, Teenage Life. This came in at 19th place.
That's about where it deserved, I think.
Now hear this.
What? Teachers used to say, but they don't know and try to write this song. Classroom schemes and dreams, man, they couldn't save me, cause my days were numbered when I signed down on AV. Teenage kids running out, what could we do? I still show respect to my boys who made it through, and getting told off Mr. T how my life would be. They're giving me my signal so everyone can see. Sunshine and shade, those girls I'd serenade, thinking of those sixth form chicks that misbehave, hoping that those days would go on and on forever. Every day something new, just friends running together. But suddenly school ends, your teenage life's gone. All your mates are growing up now, they're moving on. And now I'm looking back, I'll tell you what I know. Do you listen to your teacher? No, I don't think so.
We'll stick with 2006, Daz Sampson there. This is another entry from 2006 from Lithuania. I can pronounce this, LT United. That's a nice easy one for me to say.
You got that one.
And this track was called We Are The Winners. Mm. Very optimistic. The chorus was, we are the winners of Eurovision.
Mm.
I think you're really kind of, you know, tempting fate with such a title. But they came fifth.
Yeah,
they didn't win, but they came fifth. I would expect them to come last.
Mm.
So anything you can tell us about LT United?
Well, the LT United were all really big stars in Lithuania individually. A lot of them have been in punk bands, metal bands. There were some TV presenters in there. And they'd realised how they'd had a terrible track record in Eurovision history. So he thought they'd write a situationist hymn. This is full-on postmodern situationist deliberacy of writing the most simple song they could, of like a playground beat, of a sort of playground rhyme to it, and see what happened. And somehow they managed to drag their way into fifth. There's another song that fandom hated because they thought they were mocking the competition. But again, it was Gildo Horn, it was Alf Poyet. Just everyone at home got it and loved it for what it was. Just a silly bit of nonsense they could sing along to. Even at the winners' press conference, Lordi, who won that year, dredged their way up to the press conference. First thing he said, he grabbed the mic, Mr. Lordi, and shouted, "We are the winners of Eurovision." Now, that song stuck. That is the theme tune to Eurovision from now on.
We are the winners.
We are, we are.
We are the winners.
We are, we are.
We are the winners of Eurovision.
Vote!
Salut, c'est Radio Radio avec Monsieur Gareth Jones. I give him nil point. Avec special guest Roy Delaney, I give him 12 points.
I've often wondered if, particularly like the Father Ted, My Lovely Horse thing, and yeah, with Dust in the Turkey, I guess, I'm wondering if countries are deliberately putting on something terrible, knowing they won't win, so they don't have to fund it and run it next year. Is that a cynical view?
Yeah, no, especially with Ireland. Ireland really want to win it. Dust in the Turkey, they thought that was their winner. They genuinely thought that was the one for them. And there's another case of once it got out there, everyone went, oh dear, this is terrible. Is it going to work? I quite liked it. Again, it was poking a bit of fun, a bit self-referential at Eurovision. But no, there's no one up there that doesn't want to win it. They wouldn't enter if they didn't want to win it. They got to pay a certain amount of money. They're different for each country, but they got to pay money to enter. And they want to be there. They want to be in the final. They want to win. You know, there's no real My Lovely Horse because it doesn't really cost you anything to put it on because the European Broadcasting Union will help you get sponsors, you'll get advertising partners. You don't lose money by putting Eurovision on. It's a bit of a myth.
Okay, I need some help here with another pronunciation.
This friend in 2008, an Estonian band called Crazy Radio, that sounds easy, but it's not spelled like that at all, had a song called Leto Svet.
It's K-R-E-I-S-I-R-A-A-D-I-O. So I assumed it was Crazy Radio.
I know, disappointing. It's just Crazy Radio, I'm afraid.
Crazy Radio on Radio Radio with Gareth Jones. Leto Sue? Svet?
Svet. Leto Svet. It's kind of like summer life.
I'm never going to make it.
Don't forget, I've had years repeating these over and over again.
So in 2008, this came in 18th place in the first semi-final.
It did.
It didn't get any higher than that.
No. This is universally the most hated song in Eurovision history amongst Eurovision fans. They just don't get it. Whenever there's polls of the least favourite song, this wins by a mile. But they haven't understood that this is, again, a postmodern song about the simplicity of pop and the gradual decay. This sounds a bit highfalutin for when you hear the song, but the gradual decay of pop's meaning over the years in Eurovision history. It runs through a number of different languages, and the translations get more and more simplistic as it goes along. And all of a sudden, in the middle, there's the most virtuoso spell of music you can ever imagine. Then it goes back to umpire again. This is a very special thing.
stoga, to je dosta.
Sardela, to je dosta.
Crazy Radio, I can say that quite freely. Sticking with 2008 now, we have a French guy, Sébastien Tellier. And as far as I'm aware, he's a very credible artist. He's worked with Air. Mm. He's a respected artist, a respected musician. What was he doing involved with Eurovision?
Well, the French had a very forward-thinking executive producer for a few years who decided to invite all of France's biggest pop stars. Most of them turned him down and said, go away, you're talking nonsense. But Sébastien Tellier, he went, that's a good idea, I'm going to have a laugh with this. And just sent this beauty. You have to look this up on the internet, on YouTube, because not only is this a really simplistic French pop song, but with an amazing, constant, hammering refrain, it's the camera work on this is amazing. There's lots of shots of just his feet. He comes on in the golf buggy. There's a backing singers, a whole choir of women with beards. And then halfway through, he gets his inflatable globe that's full of helium, inhales it, and sings the chorus. It's just a thing of marvellousness. And when it finished, the whole front 20 rows were silent with bewilderment. It's like, what have we just seen? We don't know if that's amazing or rubbish. We don't understand. It was great. You can't watch the video.
Well, we haven't got the visuals here because it's a podcast, but yeah. I think it's a great little electro-pop song. That's amazing.
Oh, it is. And he had, we believe there were Daft Punk with him there who helped co-write it. There were two blokes who looked very shifty all the time. They weren't wearing helmets, but the rumours went round that Daft Punk were there with him.
Bye.
So France's entry from 2008 there, Sébastien Tellier,
I think. When you put an R on the end, I think it's a,
yeah. With the divine electro pop song Divine.
It was divine.
Roy Delaney, Eurovision guru.
Aficionado.
So as a, I've often wondered, because we, I just watch it on the telly, or, well, this year, planning to go and see it at a venue. Sometimes it's shown in pubs. It's also shown in gay clubs, and why not? Yeah. But actually being there, obviously the atmosphere, the flag flying and everything. But do you witness, I don't know, do you witness the differences? Like, we obviously know about the political voting.
Which doesn't exist.
Which doesn't exist.
Which doesn't exist.
But do you know...
I've got graphs to prove it.
Do you notice amongst the audience, you know, if people are rooting for their country, is there apathy? Is there...
It's interesting. It's kind of like, imagine you're at a football match, but with 2017, or 26 teams, rather, it'll be this year. Or we're 27 this year. But imagine that. So the hour in the stadium beforehand is amazing. The atmosphere, everyone's in there with their flags, everyone's in their little groups because they've brought their tickets together, and people are running around trying to outdo each other. The Dutch have always got orange suits on, and the Israelis have always got inflatable hammers and want to go down the front. And it's a proper supportive atmosphere beforehand, but just everyone's out to beat each other. And then when the show's on, everyone loves everything. There's always a song everyone tries to boo, and I reckon it'll be the Finns this year, disgracefully. But and possibly the Russians, because, well, we know about them. No, it's generally, it's an amazingly electric atmosphere. Weirdly, the semi-finals have become the one to go to these days. They're shorter, but the envelope opening is incredibly tense. When you've got five favourites left and there's only four envelopes to go, everyone's humming and buzzing. And who's it going to be? Who's going to get knocked out? And then when another favourite doesn't go through, oh my God, how did Switzerland get through? Sweden, they're going to get knocked out. And it's just, it's brilliant.
How did it grow and grow that there are now so many countries involved that we got two semi-finals?
Well, I think it was the Iron Curtain coming down. It used to be just traditionally Francophile and Germanic countries were joined. Then it got a bit weird when the Spanish and the Southern European countries joined, and it all seemed really exotic. But after the Berlin Wall came down, all the Russian republics wanted to join because they were wanted to build their impression of their nation in Europe. And then when Yugoslavia came down, they had a long tradition of being in Eurovision as Yugoslavia, and they all wanted to go. And then we started going further and further east with the Caucasus and Azerbaijan and Georgia and Armenia. And then the little countries wanted to go. That was San Marino. They said, oh, well, everyone else is having to go. We want to join in. As did Andorra. So it just got bigger and bigger, and everyone wanted to be a part of the party. And then for a few years, it was like a weird relegation thing where you, on the average of your previous 3 years' points, decided whether you were going to be in the next year. Then they thought, we'll have a semi-final. And then there were so many countries, I thought, we have two now. So, you know, it's a full two-week affair now. But I'll get that out there on the 10th of May, and the show's not out until the 23rd. So there's a semi-final on the Tuesday before, a semi-final on the Thursday, and then there's a big one on the Saturday.
Is that three nights of champagne for you, then?
There's a lot of champagne. There is a lot of champagne, because particularly, again, with the new countries, they want to kind of show off how extravagant and cosmopolitan they are. So a lot of the nights during Eurovision fortnight, the delegations have parties. In Iceland, we always go to an embassy, and they always give us Icelandic vodka. And Azerbaijan used to have a ridiculous party with loads of free booze. Georgia give us loads of free red Georgian wine. I'm not a drinker. I don't drink it any other time of the year apart from Eurovision. And when I do, oh. But so, yeah, everyone's trying to buy our vote almost. And so it's quite good for freebies, quite good for a good free night out.
Suddenly you appreciate the songs a lot more, but I guess.
You do after a couple of bottles of Georgian wine, I tell you.
And how much of this is like all expenses paid? Do you get lavish hotels? And
no, I have to pay for my accommodation, but I do get paid to be there. And I manage to flog the odd story when I'm out there here and there if anything interesting happens. I think I'll be able to get something off the punk press for the Finns this year here and there. But it's an almighty blag. And to be honest, I'd pay it a go even if I wasn't getting paid, because it's flipping marvellous. Best blag in show business.
For the haters, a lot of people diss Eurovision. If you were trying to sell it to someone and say, you know, get into it, feel the spirit, what could you say to convert someone?
Well, this probably isn't the year to convert them, because it's quite a dull year. But I'd say you probably haven't watched it since the 90s. Take your grumpy specs off, watch it with just fun. Don't even think about political voting, because it doesn't exist. Of course, you're going to be able to guess the 12 points, but you don't win Eurovision with 12 points. You win them by getting 6s, 7s and 8s and 10s. So you need points from everyone to win Eurovision. So put all that political voting out of your mind and just watch it and turn your brain off and enjoy 3 and a bit hours of just glorious showbiz nonsense.
Roy, should we end with something of your choice now?
That's going to be tricky. I think I'll probably go with my favourite ever winner. From 1963, it was Denmark's first go by an act I can't pronounce either, Greta and Jürgen Ingemann, a song called Dansevisa. And this fella was like the Danish Les Paul, and it was a big twangy guitar thing, but it's possibly the coolest thing that's ever entered Eurovision. So enjoy this bit of 60s Danish nonsense.
Really lovely to speak to you. Have a great Eurovision.
I'll do my very best for you.
Sols drive i en vandpyt, et lille kindkys af en ven. Og Sivel, der nynner, at livet begynder sit spil i dit sind. Et sølvfløjt fra en trætop, en trætopfatlyd af en kat. En risle i bækken, en visselen i hækken, der siger, at det ikke mere er nat. På daggry går til ro, der en står pukkald af sengen og går over solens gro. Os to, hvad med os to? Ja, hvad med os to, dig og mig? Jeg danser og danser og danser og sanser kun dig. Hvorfor løb du dog din vej? Kom igen, kom igen. Kom igen, du min elskede ven. Kom igen, kom igen. Hvor du ønsker det, danser vi hen. Kom, lad os danse. Alt kan der ske. Kom, lad os danse. Lad os danse. Lad os le. Sølvfløjt fra en trætop, et svagt og flat lyd af en kat. En risselen i bækken, en visselen i hækken, der siger, at det ikke mere er nat. Du voldigger engen, jomfru daggry går til ro. Der en står puk, kold af sengen og går over solens gro. Med os to, ja, hvad med os to, dig og mig? Jeg danser og danser og danser og sanser kun dig. Hvorfor løfter dog din vej? Kom igen, kom igen. Elskede.
And that just about wraps up this rather mammoth Eurovision edition of Radio Radio. Struth, it was nearly as long as the ceremony itself. My thanks to Roy Delaney, and, I'm sure he'll have a fantastic time at Eurovision. I will be going to the Cube Cinema, which is in Bristol. If you live in Bristol, get yourself down there and you can enjoy Eurovision on the big screen. Well, I'm going to leave you now, but we've got time for just a little bit more. I'm going to leave you with a cover version of the 1996 Gina G classic. This is by an acoustic twee indie pop band from Sheffield called Robbery, as in a bank robbery, but spelt R-O-B-B-E-R-I-E. And if you like this, their debut single is actually put out by my friends Vinny and Marky, who run a small indie pop label called My Little Owl Records. If you visit mylittleowlrecords.bandcamp.com, mylittleowlrecords.bandcamp.com, and you can find the debut single by Robbery there. But this is not their debut single. This is, in fact, a free download they made available covering Gina G. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back soon-ish with another edition of Radio Radio. They come in, you know, peaks and troughs, but there will be more, I can assure you. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'll join you again soon. Don't forget, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Radio Podcast, and Twitter, twitter.com/Radio Radio Pod. So like us, follow us, stalk us. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great Eurovision. Au revoir, and c'est bon, and très bien, and see you next time. Mwah, mwah.
you're my sweetest thing. Don't shy away, don't shy away. Every night makes me hate the days. Can't get enough of your love. Am I wrong? Am I so unkind? Show me the way, don't turn away. I can hide all these thoughts in my mind. Every moment I'm thinking of you. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit, you know what I'm looking for. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit, I give you love you can't ignore. All the way, it's got to be, set me free. But tonight, let my body say, take it slow, don't let it go. How can I prove my love to you? Baby, please, you're all I need. Like a child, but it's more than a like the angel, but it wouldn't be true. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit, you know what I'm looking for. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit, I give you love you can't ignore. What can you do for me? What can you do? Cause I feel so alive. I feel your love inside. Ooh, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You know what?